A reading from the book of Isaiah. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 15. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing praises to your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the people extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Good morning, church. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem, and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. The theme for this Sunday is peace. Last Sunday, we celebrated the first Advent, and the theme was hope. In the first coming of Jesus, we saw the hope, that hope the Old Testament writers kept alive throughout their time. And in the second coming of Jesus, we have greater hope. That was our discussion last week. And this week, we are going to talk about peace. The word peace appears more than 400 times in the Bible. We use the word peace in our liturgy. A little while from now, we are going to share the peace with one another. So peace is very much used in our service. Peace is also is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a very common word among us. The world is also using the word peace. They also use it very generously. They talk about different types of peace: inner peace, interpersonal peace, national peace, global peace. Peace is talked everywhere. But do we receive that peace? Do we have that peace? The world offers peace like this: if only I have, I would have peace. If only I have. If only I have a lot of money, I would have peace. If only I had eliminated my enemy, I would have peace. That's how the world countries look at their other countries. If I only had married the right person, I would have peace. So the peace is something that has to come from outside. If that happens, I would get peace. Even if something that comes from outside brought some kind of peace, but that peace doesn't stay long. We know that. Another way the world tries to achieve peace is, let me try it out. Nothing is going to come from outside, but I am going to put some effort to receive that peace. Probably I will go to gym every day. I will work hard. I will do this. I will do that. Yes, such kind of hard work will get you reach the goal. But will it give you a lasting peace? Will it give you peace? Will you be able to achieve peace? Sultan of Brunei is one of the wealthiest individuals in the world. He owns the world's largest palace, but he quite often changes his residence. Why? He is worried, he is afraid of many robbers and many people who are against him. He is out of fear, lack of peace, he is moving from place to place. He is able to purchase all that he can buy in this world, but he cannot purchase peace. Yes, we cannot achieve peace by ourselves. We cannot purchase as well. George Herbert, a pastor and a poet, in his poem, The Pulley, says, God has given us everything, wisdom, honor, pleasure, wealth, all we can have apart from God, but we cannot have peace apart from God. We cannot have peace without God. God is the one who gives peace. Peace is a gift from God, and we cannot have peace without God. In our first lesson from Isaiah, Isaiah gives the promise of peace. What is that promise? He says, wolves living with lambs. He says, wild animals living with the domestic animals and in peace. He also says, children playing near snakes. They put their hand around cobra and they can walk around. Promise of peace. And at the end, he says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as waters cover the sea. In other words, Isaiah connected the knowledge of God to peace. The knowledge of God is connected to peace. Isaiah, in another chapter, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, he says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thought are fixed on you. People who know God, people who come closer to God, people who have the knowledge of God, they are the ones who have peace in them. So peace is not achieved, it is received. It's a gift given by God, and we receive it. Now, in our gospel lesson, John the Baptist, the famous character in the New Testament, comes up with the recipe for peace. He comes up with the recipe. He says, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. If you want to receive peace, this is the recipe. This is the only recipe. This is the only method. Repent and come to God. Now, the word for repentance is metanoia. Metanoia is a very interesting word. Of course, when we talk about repentance, we think about putting on sackcloth, sitting on ashes, putting ashes on our head, crying over the things that we have committed. That's not the understanding comes out of metanoia. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. You have to see that your heart is broken. The idea here is change of your mind. A new way of thinking, a new way of seeing. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of heaven has come. Now, forget about all that. You have been walking away from God. You have been going and running away from God. Now, take a stop. Make a U-turn and come to the Lord. Repent. That's the only way we can have peace. God is available now. Do not delay it. Peace is not an idea or concept. No, peace is a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When we come to him, he offers us peace. D.L. Moody very beautifully says this, and I want to quote him. If God's today is too soon for repentance, your tomorrow may be too late for God's acceptance. The only way we can come to our Lord Jesus is repentance. Don't delay it. Do it now. Every day I need to be repenting. And we all need to be repenting. That's the only way we can come and enjoy the peace that is available in Jesus. In our second lessons from Romans 15, Paul is talking, or Paul is teaching, to accept one another as Christ accepted us. Christ welcomed you. Christ gave you peace. You go and accept others. You have peace in you. Go out and make peace. You be the peacemakers. In other words, Paul is talking about peace is a call. Peace is a calling. Live in peace. God made peace with you. You make peace. You be peacemakers. Now, let's look at our church mission statement. What is this? Knowing Christ Jesus and making him known in Eindhoven and beyond. That's our mission statement. Let's know Jesus within ourselves. Know Jesus. Receive peace. And when we are equipped, when we receive peace, go and share the peace outside. So we do work within the church, which we call it ministry. When we go out, we do mission, which is out of the church. So we have twofold. We do a lot of work here inside the church so that we know God more, we love God more, and we enjoy this peace. When we go out, we do the mission. We are the peacekeepers. We bring Jesus to them so that they will also receive peace. Today we are having Christmas Mission Market, the mission. And we pray for our mission partners. I know how you all know the mission partners, the Garvey Williams. They work in Ireland. And we have Joe and Anna Beswick. They work among the drug addicts in England. And also we know Youth for Christ in Pondicherry. They work among the youth. These are all the people who live beyond Eindhoven and who work for peacemaking, who work for gospel, and we support them. And recently we added two more partners in our mission group, two more partners. We want to be relevant to the Netherlands. So we have a local partner who is Naarhaus 777. They go to different dark areas preaching the gospel to the people who come to the parties. And we are involving ourselves with that team. And also we have recently added another team, another person. Her name is going to be hidden. We can call her Yem. I'm going to put her newsletter on the screen. She's going to go to South Sudan to reach the people in South Sudan. She be the peacemaker in that land. So our call is to know Jesus and also making him known. As we come to this end of this meditation, I brought three things to you. One is, peace is a gift given by God. Second is, peace, the recipe for peace is repentance, no other recipe. And the third thing is, we are called to be peacemakers, called to become peacemakers. I will finish with this illustration. Francis of Assisi, a very famous Catholic theologian, and he once sat in front of his house watching women coming to his compound to fetch water from his well. So these women were coming with their pots, drawing water from the well, and they pour it into their pots. He was watching them. And all these women, when they filled their pots, they put a small wooden rod or wooden stick in the inside the pot, and they carried the pots on their head. So he did not know why they put this small wooden piece in the water. So he went and talked to them. Why did you put this stick into your pot? They said, we have to go a long way to reach our home. We don't want our water to be spilled. Water has the tendency to splash and it creates a wave and vigorously flash. So we want to see that this is calm, quiet. Only this small stick keeps the water balanced. Our heart is filled with that kind of water. Splashes everywhere. Waves are everywhere. And Francis of Assisi says, put the cross in your heart. That's where you will see calmness in your heart. Peace is not here or there. Peace is in Jesus. Come and enjoy the peace. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with us all. Amen.